This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 207, focus on wellness, not disease. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Building Resilience Podcast. Today, we are going to be spending a little bit of time exploring some mindsets. Specifically, we're going to be exploring the difference between focusing on disease and injury versus focusing on wellness and health. Now, I often tell my clients that in life, and in particular with the nervous system, we can either focus on reducing danger or increasing safety. And I kind of think of this the same way with our health. We can focus on disease and disorders, or we can focus on health and wellness. Now, let me be clear at the outset of this episode. I'm not suggesting that we don't deal with disease and injury. So this isn't about ignoring symptoms or bypassing necessary treatments. Medications, medical interventions, they can be life-saving, crucial tools, especially in situations that require immediate intervention. But I think for so many of the challenges that we face, particularly those related to stress and burnout and lifestyle, the answer really does lie in a much deeper focus on resilience and wellness. We need to be focusing more on safety than on danger. So today, we're going to look at what it means to move towards a wellness-centered mindset. We're going to be looking at the impact of language and how that shapes our health experiences, because language truly does matter. And of course, we're going to be looking at the role of the nervous system in all this. So let's begin with the difference between a wellness-focused mindset and a disease-focused mindset. Now, healthcare in general often zeroes in on identifying problems, diagnosing symptoms, and managing conditions. This is the medical model. And of course, this approach is essential for acute situations where quick interventions are needed. They can save lives and provide immediate relief. So essentially what happens is the medical community will hear the symptoms and be looking and finding, if they can, the structural cause, treat it and fix it. And this is what we are trained to expect from our healthcare professionals. But when it comes to things like chronic stress, or things like anxiety or some sleep issues or other lifestyle-related conditions, a disease-focused model can actually keep us in a very reactive cycle. What I mean is by constantly focusing on symptoms or trying to manage symptoms, maybe we're also trying to find what the underlying structural problem is, and we just keep dealing with the symptoms over and over and over again. This model keeps us focused on disease. And if we can't find the solution to the symptoms, we just go harder. More tests, more doctors, more treatment. So we get fixated on the problems and we become much more disease focused. Now, in contrast, a wellness focused mindset is a little bit different. And this mindset is actually inspired by the concept of salutogenesis, which really focuses on answering the question, what factors support and build health? So rather than focusing on the factors that are causing illness, what this approach does is shift our attention from solely treating symptoms to creating conditions that foster resilience and long-term wellness. So a great example of this was what we saw in response to COVID-19. While immediate treatment and containment were definitely essential, we needed to be focusing on dealing with the symptoms, there was also a tremendous push towards prevention, developing vaccines, promoting preventative health measures, building up our immunity, so to speak. And this wasn't just about managing COVID and the symptoms. It was about increasing our resilience against it. And again, it's important to clarify, I'm not saying we should overlook symptoms or dismiss the importance of medical treatments or dealing with symptoms or trying to find the root cause if structural, because there are many treatments that are necessary for certain things. Medications, medical management often is needed. Medications can actually help stabilize and heal and even empower somebody to start making lifestyle changes. But when we face lifestyle-related challenges, we need to be asking ourselves, are we making lifestyle choices that support resilience and health in the long run? Or are we relying on quick fixes that only manage the symptoms? Now, of course, at the heart of resilience is our nervous system. So just a little recap in case you're new around here. Your nervous system is the foundation upon which everything else is built. Your nervous system constantly scans the environment looking for cues of safety and danger. It decides whether we feel safe or threatened, and this decision happens below our conscious awareness through a process called neuroception, which is a term coined by Dr. Stephen Porges. Now, based on what the nervous system neurocepts, it directs us into one of three states, and I call them team resilient, team hyper, and team hypo. Team resilient is that safe state where we feel connected and calm and able to engage. So if we feel safe, this is where we'll go. This is where our creativity and our resilience thrives, and we have access to our thinking skills, our CEO, as I call her. Now, team hyper, if we sense danger or neurocept danger, team hyper is the first place we'll go. It's a mobilized fight or flight state activated when the nervous system perceives danger. This is where we are ready to take action. It's a zone of protection, and it's kind of like we could think of it as being stuck on. Now, team hypo is our shutdown state, which is where we go to conserve energy if the situation seems too overwhelming or inescapable. Again, it's also a protective state, and it's like we are stuck on off. So resilience is about strengthening our ability to stay in that safe, resilient state as much as possible and training ourselves to return to it when we're knocked off balance. By doing this, we're not only enhancing our capacity to handle stress, we're building a foundation for better physical, emotional, and mental health. So the more that we can focus on this safe zone, this zone of resilience, as I call it, the more we can increase our capacity for wellness. So yes, we may want to get out of team hyper or team hypo, but the first thing that we need to do is to build up a home to go to. We need to first always increase our safety, increase our wellness. We need to be investing in trying to maximize moments of safety, adding little bits at a time. We need to be focusing on improving our overall health and improving that health of the nervous system. So let's talk a little bit about language, because I do think it's helpful to consider some of the terms that are often used interchangeably, but do have distinct meanings. I'm going to talk about illness, disease, diagnosis, and disorder. Now think about it. When I say those words, do you sort of lump them all together as the same term? Well, understanding these differences can really help us approach health a little bit differently. So illness is a subjective experience of feeling unwell. And it doesn't necessarily mean there's a diagnosable disease. So you can say, I feel ill today, or I feel off, I just feel unwell. And it doesn't mean that there's anything to diagnose. A disease is a more specific condition with identifiable symptoms, and it's often confirmed through tests and clinical assessment. And then there's a diagnosis. This is the label that is given to the disease or the condition after a thorough evaluation. And this diagnosis is helpful because it can help healthcare professionals develop a treatment plan. And then there's a disorder, which is a disruption in normal functioning, which might not be classified as a disease, but it can significantly impact your life, the quality of your life. So we end up using these terms interchangeably, but as you can see, they are different. Not every experience of feeling unwell signals that you have a disease. Sometimes issues are a result of lifestyle imbalances or chronic stress and not due to a formal diagnosis. So understanding these differences and recognizing this can encourage us to focus a little bit more on creating wellness. Language is so powerful in shaping our health experiences overall. So for example, saying, I have anxiety versus I'm feeling anxious right now reflects different perspectives. When we identify with terms like disorder, we reinforce these states as part of who we are. But we're not a disease. We're not a diagnosis. We're not a disorder. When we use language that's a bit more flexible, so for example, saying something like, I'm experiencing stress or I'm feeling anxious, that kind of language signals to your nervous system that these states are temporary. This is not who you are. This is an experience you are having. And experiences are transient in nature. I'm often encouraging people to be really careful about the labels that they place on themselves, shifting your language towards more resilience and flexibility and less towards tying you to an identity, to a disease or a diagnosis or a disorder can be very helpful. It helps you see that few things are fixed and many things are transient. So changing things up, or at least being a bit more aware of the language that you use, can help foster self-compassion and support a much more flexible and adaptable mindset. Remember, words matter, and they shape the way that we perceive ourselves and perceive the world around us. Now, before we move into some practical strategies, because I'm going to get there, I do want to mention a little something about medications. This is often a tricky topic. I know from my experience that most of my clients who have suffered from a traumatic brain injury at some point will be making decisions about medications. And while we want to be focusing on health, doing all the things to promote health, focus on health, not on disease, there truly is a place for medication. Medication can be life-saving, can be essential. I often see how medications can provide the stability that somebody needs to start making lifestyle changes. For example, somebody with severe depression may need medication just to find the energy to address lifestyle factors. So you may hear things like, oh, just go for a walk every day. It's good for you. And if you're depressed, it will just get you up and going. But in order for you to go for a walk and do things that may be good for your health, you actually need a certain level of wellness to do it. And sometimes medications can give you that. I like to use the example with my clients that sometimes health-wise, we may feel like we're falling into a dark pit and just falling into this deep abyss. We may know some strategies that we should be using, but we're just not able to access these strategies. We don't have the capacity or the ability to implement them. So sometimes taking medication can be like giving somebody a floor to stand on. And now that they're standing, they can start accessing some of the strategies that can help them move towards wellness. We do want to be addressing lifestyle habits because they truly are a foundation of resilience. Many conditions that we see people suffering from today are lifestyle related. They are related to stress. Things like mild anxiety and sleep disturbances and fatigue, they can all benefit tremendously from lifestyle adjustments or more of a focus on health and wellness. Maybe focusing things on more like diet and regular movement and mindfulness. We want to be focusing on lifestyle changes because that will help us create lasting health. And of course, ideally, medication and lifestyle choices complement each other. While medication can address symptoms, then lifestyle choices like nutrition and sleep and connection, they can help build resilience and strengthen the body's natural way to handle stress. So lastly, let's talk about some things that you can do practically to make sure that you're spending more time building a wellness-focused mindset rather than focusing on symptoms and disease. So the first thing you can do is start by being mindful of your language around health, as I already discussed a little bit. Avoid language that suggests permanence, like I'm stressed or I have anxiety. Instead, try phrases like I'm feeling stressed right now or I'm experiencing anxious feelings right now. This shift reinforces that these feelings are temporary, not part of your identity, which helps your nervous system respond with greater adaptability. Next, of course, you know I'm going to tell you, let's expand your nervous system's capacity. And we can do this sometimes through calming practices. What are you doing on a daily basis to befriend your nervous system? Are you taking time every day to reset your stress cycle? And by that, I mean every day we're building up energy in our system from the stressors in our life. So we often just refer to this generically as stress. So what are you doing during the day to help relieve that stress daily? Are you blowing off some steam, so to speak? It's so important to kind of hit this reset button every day. Now, many people will do this through exercise or different breathing techniques or meditation or meditative activities, maybe even using creativity to help you release stress and to regulate. And I actually want to share with you that next year in my Connections membership, I'm going to be introducing a new monthly class. It's going to be a class focused on creativity. We're going to be doing some doodling and journaling in the class. And to kickstart this new component, I'm actually hosting a free workshop called Doodle Your Nervous System. It's going to be held over 2 days at the beginning of January because I'm going to be doing some teaching about the nervous system and we're going to be doing some doodling together. It's going to be super fun. It's on January 2nd and 3rd, 1 p.m. Eastern. Set aside at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half to attend. You can come with just a pen and paper, or you can bring markers. And I love using watercolors, so I will encourage you to do that. Or you could just use your iPad. There's tons of apps like Procreate. But I really want to encourage you to come. Replays are going to be available, of course, for a short period of time if you can't make it live. And I know it will be very close to the new year, but I wanted it to be at the start before we head back into full swing of 2025. So all that to say, creativity is a great way for us to be resetting our nervous system and to help us build resilience. Now, finally, instead of just focusing on things that will deal with symptoms, we do want to be focusing on the habits that support the health and resilience. And a few suggestions are focusing on nutrition. We know, obviously, that nutrient-dense foods are going to be helpful for our nervous system and our overall health. So leafy greens and berries and omega-3-rich foods like fish. We also know that sleep is really important for our fundamental health. Aiming for quality sleep, aiming for 7 to 8 hours. I did a couple of podcast episodes a while back all about sleep, so you can go back and revisit those. And then movement and sunlight. Try to get at least 20 minutes of sunlight and movement daily. And these small changes can have a big impact on your energy and your mood and your health overall. So moving towards a focus on health and wellness is so important to do, and it is an empowering shift that we can make for our own health. You can support that shift of focusing on wellness through your language, through expanding the capacity of your nervous system and learning how to befriend it, by choosing lifestyle habits that promote long-term health and wellness. All these things will contribute to a healthier, more adaptable foundation for your overall wellness. I hope you found that helpful, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.